on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, that was Pull Up K on the intro, and we are live for another episode of the Auto Bid. It is March. Today is March 4th, to be exact. So y'all know what that means. March is upon us, man. March Madness is officially in full swing. We got some conference tournaments going on this week that we're going to dive into, man, and get you guys the latest on that. But, you know, that was my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the intro. Make sure you guys stream his latest project, Life Ain't Fair. Also, go check out his new music video, go check out all his music, man. Don't Pull Up Tay on YouTube. Like, subscribe, man. Show my man some love. Then, when you're done with that, come right back over to the podcast, like this podcast. Share it, subscribe, man. Show us some love, man. It goes a long way, man. Today, we're going to have a jam-packed episode for you guys. As I mentioned, we're going to be diving into some conference tournaments, giving you guys some outlooks on that. But we're also going to sit down with newly minted regular season champion, Alex Morales of the Wagner Seahawks. Wagner just capitalized on the NEC regular season title. They defeated Merrimack. They got a sweep over Merrimack and officially won the NEC outright. They're going to head into the conference tournament this weekend. So we sat down with Alex Morales just to kind of talk about, you know, what that regular season title means and how they can capitalize that and turn that into an NCAA tourney berth. That's going to come a little bit later, man. But Ace, man, talk to me, man. It's March, you know, March Madness, man. How you feeling, man? How you feeling?
Feeling great, man. Super excited, man. March is the best month of the year, man. So I'm super excited to be able to watch all these conference tournaments, man. It's going to be a crazy, crazy next few days, this weekend, next couple weeks until Selection Sunday when these guys are going to get to hear their name called in the NCAA tournament, man. So I cannot wait, for all the action, man, this week. Over the next few weeks, as we're winding down, you know, these championship tournaments in these leagues across the country, man. So I'm definitely hyped to get you guys to interview with Alex Morales as well. That guy is definitely one of the most underrated players in the country. He's averaging about 17.7 rebounds, over 4 assists and 2 steals per game for Wagner, man. So he's definitely, you know, a very, very versatile player. So look forward to getting you guys that interview later, man. But we got a jam-packed episode, man. A lot to get you guys caught up on, and then a lot to get you guys ready for this weekend coming up. So let's dive right into it, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. I'm going to get started with the A-10. You know, a conference that whose tournament is actually going on as we speak. Literally, Dayton right now is playing URI. Dayton right now has a lead 40-31 over URI. We'll see how that game unfolds there in the second half. But last night we had some A-10 action as well. The first round of the tournament, you know, St. Joe's, you know, the hottest team, you know, one of the hottest teams in the A-10 that came from the bottom. You know, now they, you know, started from the bottom. Now we're here, man. They got a win over LaSalle in the first round of the tournament, 72-56. GW was also able to get a win over Fordham. You know, Fordham has struggled this entire season, really. Ended up firing their coach. Is going to be looking for a new start to that program next year, you know. But their season was ended last night by GW. You know, then today is the second round action, man. UMass took out St. Joe's, man, a team that looked like it could be a potential, I don't know if I would call them a big stealer, man, but they were definitely going to be a headache, you know, for somebody in the A-10. And UMass handled them, you know, pretty easily, 100-256. But the biggest result of the day, Duquesne beats Richmond, effectively ending the Spiders' chances at NCAA tournament berth. It was well understood that Richmond had to win the A-10 in order to get into the tournament. They started off, you know, extremely hot. Were a top 25 team, you know, a team that many thought could, you know, potentially make a run to the Sweet 16 this year. I mean, they were that good at the beginning of the year. People had high hopes for the Richmond Spiders team, but you know, that second half of the season, man, it just kind of fell apart. You know, couldn't really put it together. And Duquesne, man, you know, sends them home in, you know, the second round of the tournament. You know, Richmond doesn't even get a win in the A-10 tournament, and Duquesne sends them home, man. So that was definitely the most surprising result of the day thus far.
Yeah, man, how about St. Joe's, man? I mean, I bet, you know, some teams in A-10 were sweating. They had won five straight since my guy Ryan Daly came back on that floor. Man, I know Jeff Goodman, he tweeted, he said, you know, he didn't think St. Joe's was ever going to lose with Ryan Daly on the court the way they were playing, man. They had won five in a row after not having won a game in the A-10, man. I mean, crazy scenario for them, man. But, you know, hats off to Ryan Daly and that team. You know, obviously you lose about 34 today to UMass, but they showed some fight towards the end of that season, man. It's definitely admirable. Hopefully you can build on that going into next year, man. But for Richmond, I mean, that is a crushing defeat, crushing end to a season, man. And like you said, once looked promising, man. They had a good non-conference. Obviously, you know, they had that win over Kentucky. They beat a lower Chicago team, which is right now looking like a crazy, you know, a really good win. But they're, you know, second half of the season was less than spectacular, man. And you lose your first game in the A-10 tournament to Duquesne, man, is definitely disappointing, man. So those guys, you know, you've got to be scratching their head, man, because they definitely had a shot, man. They had one of the best teams in the A-10, man. But you know, for them to be able to not to be able to, you know, put it all together, man, is definitely a surprising result for sure.
No, for sure, man. I mean, Ryan Daly has announced that he's going to forego this extra year of eligibility that the NCAA is offering. He's going to go pro. This is a guy, I mean, he's been in college for 5 years, you know. So, you know, did 2 years at Delaware, transferred to St. Joe's, you know, averaged 20 both of the last two seasons, man. So, he's overdue for a paycheck somewhere. So, hats off to Ryan Daly, man. Only was able to play, I believe, 9 or 10 games this year, you know, due to injury. But, you know, definitely had that St. Joe's team playing well towards the end of the season, man. And UMass, I mean, their team, man, at the beginning of the year, you know, we thought maybe they're at the top of the A-10 because they had a favorable schedule, man. And, I mean, they've played really well, man. I mean, they got themselves into a situation now where they throttled St. Joe's in that first game, man. And, you know, I'm going to preview this matchup a little bit later, man, but I think they have a great chance to win their matchup actually in the next round. It might surprise a few people, man, but you know, I'm not gonna spill the beans too late. I mean, too early on that, excuse me. You know, but like I said, man, I think UMass is definitely a sleeper team in the A-10, man. 100-66 win in the A-10 tournament, no matter who you're playing, to win by 34 points is a hell of a statement to make.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, so that's the A-10. I want to go over to the Ohio Valley. You know, last week we were talking about Belmont, man. They had a 21-game win streak, and they limped to the finish a little bit, man. They were out their best player, Nick Brzezinski. He didn't play the last game of the regular season. He was out with an injury, and they lost both of those games that we talked about towards the end of last week's episode. They lost to EKU, and then they lost to Morehead State heading into this to the Ohio Valley tournament. And then they played last night in the Ohio Valley tournament. They got Nick Brzezinski back. Only played 18 minutes. He scored 5 points. But they were able to get a win in the opening round of the Ohio Valley Conference tournament against SIUE. So they were able to bounce back from those two losses, man. I mean, Nick Brzezinski, you know, if he's not healthy, you know, this team's definitely going to be susceptible as we go forward in this OVC, man. So you got to hope, you know, that he can you know, get healthy for the next few games. But if not, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him to get a win, man, for him to win it out, for him to win out and, you know, get that bid.
Yeah, man. I mean, Missouri Valley is a tough, tough conference, man. The Ohio Valley, the OVC is a tough, tough conference, man. Obviously, when you're talking about a team like Belmont, who was, you know, heavily favored, you know, going in, you hate to see a team, you know, that won 21 straight games in the regular season, you know, fall in the conference tournament, man, not get a chance to go to the Big Dance. So I hope Belmont sees that through, man. But obviously, you know, the OVC, man, you got a team, you know, like a Murray State, man, who kind of, you know, didn't really make too much noise in that regular season, you know. But at the end of the day, man, Murray State is a team that has pedigree in March. You know, obviously, they are a team that, you know, is no stranger to the NCAA tournament. Obviously, we know Austin Peay was also a team that was, you know, I guess one of the favorites early on in the OVC. So I don't know, man. I think that if Belmont can't, you know, kind of get it together, and hopefully they can get back, you know, at full strength, or at least, you know, just thug it out, you know, throughout the rest of this conference tournament, man. I would say my next pick in the OVC would, you know, be Murray or Austin Peay, for me at least.
Yeah, for me, I'm gonna go with EKU. I really like, obviously, you know, A.W. Hamilton, the coach over there, coach former Hargrave coach, man. He's done a great job over at EKU, man. They were 15-5 in the regular season, but they're a sneaky, sneaky good team, and I've watched them play a few times over the year, man, and I've been really impressed, man. Brandon Knapper is you know, as good a score as you're going to get. I mean, in Ohio Valley, they're averaging about 18 points a game, just over 18 points a game. I mean, they have some firepower over there, man. I mean, they're a team that could definitely, you know, surprise some people in the OVC. I think Knapper actually might be injured. He hasn't played in a while since January, it looks like. But they have, you know, a bunch of different weapons on that team. I saw them play earlier. I think it was against Murray State, man. They're a really hard-playing team, defend well. So we're going to see what happens, man. I mean, I still think Belmont is the overwhelming favorite in that conference, man. But if I had to pick a sneaky team, I'll go with EKU, but coached by A.W. Hamilton, man. I really like the job that he's done over there with that program.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure, man. We're going to pivot a little bit to another conference that has already began the conference tournament, and that is the American East. First round action, UMass Lowell defeated Stony Brook 64-62. Hartford was able to get a win over Binghamton 77-60, and Albany gets a win over NJIT 76-66, man. So that effectively ends NJIT season, you know, the first year in the American East. Definitely a disappointing one, man. Not the year that they wanted to have coming from the Atlantic Sun. A lot of people had high hopes for this team. Obviously, Zach Cooks was coming back, a guy that most people thought could be a potential, you know, player of the year in this conference. Got off to a rough start. Finished the year pretty strong. He ended up, you know, averaging a note of 17 points per game, you know, but never really was able to really propel NJIT to the heights that we all thought that they really could reach in this conference, man. So, you know, that's definitely unfortunate, you know, but this is setting up, man, for quite the matchup in the American East Tournament. Like I said, I'm not going to go too far into detail as far as, you know, next round, because we're going to preview, you know, all these matchups in the conference tournament shortly, you know. But nonetheless, first round action in the American East. UMass moves on, Hartford moves on, and Albany moves on over NJIT.
Sure, man. Definitely excited to see the rest of that American East tournament. I know we're going to talk a little bit about that later, man. But definitely a disappointing season for NJIT, man, with the talent that they had. To see their season go the way that it did was definitely a bit of a surprise, man. But going out west to the Mountain West, it was a huge weekend in the Mountain West. Obviously, the matchup that we talked about last week, San Diego State and Boise State, was for the regular season title, when San Diego State was able to get a sweep over Boise State. Sneaking out both of those two wins, both of those games were great games to watch, close games. They won the first game 78-66 in overtime. Definitely, you know, That game was a thriller to watch. San Diego State got out to a huge lead early on. Boise State fights back, come back to tie the game, man. And Boise had some crucial turnovers in the last few minutes of that game. One of them was on an inbound. They're trying to get the ball. Derek Austin, the ball goes out of bounds. And San Diego State ends up winning the game in overtime. And then on night two, you win 62-58 at home, man. So San Diego State, man, again, is an elite defensive team to hold Boise State 58, you know, in that second game, and 66 in an overtime game. In regulation, they were, you know, in the 50s. You know, then obviously Fresno State 57, Fresno State the game before that 53, San Jose State 55, San Jose State 54. I mean, San Diego State is an elite defensive team, man. I mean, I can't say it enough. That team is going to be a tough out come NCAA tournament time, man. So that was a big one. And then a huge win with Utah State was able to get a sweep over Nevada. We talked at length about this last week with Grant Sherfield in Nevada and, you know, how good that team is. And, you know, obviously they had already swept Boise State earlier in the season, man. And Utah State was able to take care of business at home and sweep Nevada to get two huge wins to kind of move the needle for them in the Mountain West. Obviously, you know, we know San Diego State is NCAA tournament bound. They're a top 25 team. And it's looking like Colorado State is trending that way as well. Boise, I think, should get in. But I think Utah State was a team, you know, that had some work to do, man. They had some work to do. They had the work cut out for them. I think Boise might be definitely feeling a little less about themselves now than they were last week, having been swept by San Diego State. So they're going to have some work to do as well in the conference tournament. You can't take an early loss. I think if they get at least to the conference semifinals, they should be okay. Conference championship would be, you know, a lot more comforting for them. And obviously, if you get the auto bid, you know, then that speaks for itself. But huge weekend for the Mountain West. And there's some more huge games coming up this weekend that we'll talk a little bit about later, man. But San Diego State, man, they've got to be the hottest team one of the hottest teams in America, man. They've now won 11 straight games in the Mountain West, man. So huge, huge props to them. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with down the stretch.
Yeah, man, I was going to say, you know, Boise obviously, you know, taking those two losses to San Diego State and then following that up with the loss at Fresno State, I mean, dropping three in a row, this is not the time of year that you want to do that, man. Obviously, going into March where the selection committee is obviously going to have those losses on their mind, you know, it's like, what have you done for me lately type of thing. And with them dropping three in a row, especially with the opportunity to get a win over San Diego State, man, it's I mean, at least you hope that you want to at least get one. If you can get one, it's like, oh, you're alive, man. And, you know, Boise was in the driver's seat to kind of compete for that regular season title. Obviously, that's not the case anymore after dropping three straight. You know, right now, they're currently sitting at 14-6, you know, but, you know, right now, San Diego State is 14-3, you know, so this kind of season, these last couple games definitely took Boise State kind of out of that picture, man. But we'll definitely have to see how they fare in the conference tournament, man. I mean, it's tough going in with three losses, you know. But if you were going to take a loss, you know, it's better to take them now, you know, but before you get into conference tournament where it's pretty much one and done style.
Yeah, that Fresno State loss really hurt them. I mean, that's a bad loss. I don't know. Obviously, the San Diego State, you're on the road, great team. But, I mean, coming off that Utah State sweep, you were thinking Boise was going to be a team that, you know, all right, let's see if they can potentially win a regular season championship in the Mountain West. And now you're looking at them as a team that has to, you know, they have to, I think, you know, they're going to have to at least make a run in the conference tournament, the conference championship game, if they're gonna be comfortable on Selection Sunday. They might even have to win it, man. I mean, now you're at 18-7 overall. You know, if you want to talk resumes, 14-6 in the Mountain West. I don't know if that gets it done, man. I mean, I think they're going to definitely have some work to do. They're going to have to probably beat, you know, if you see San Diego State in that semifinal in the Mountain West tournament, and you get that win, that'll definitely do a lot for you. Then you could potentially see a Utah State or Colorado State in the championship, you know, chance to pick up another good win. True, they probably got to see Nevada in the quarterfinals. Looking like a 4-5 matchup between them and Nevada. So, you know, we saw Nevada sweep them earlier in the year. So that's definitely no cakewalk for them either, man. So, God forbid they were to lose in the quarterfinal round. Then now we're talking about a team that potentially misses the dance altogether and goes to the NIT. So huge couple weeks heading up, coming up for Boise State.
Not for sure, man, but. You know, high stakes makes for fun basketball. So we'll definitely be, you know, tuned in to see how that shakes out, man. But to the MAC, you know, a conference that has not begun the conference tournament yet. But, you know, some major implications in the MAC, you know, unfolding here, man. Ryder was able to get a split against St. Peter's, man. That was definitely a surprising result for me because, you know, as we know, Ryder's been towards the bottom of the league. You know, so, you know, for St. Peter's to kind of drop one to Ryder, that definitely hurt them a little bit. But, you know, Sam was also able to get a sweep over Manhattan, and Marist was able to get a sweep over Quinnipiac, you know, at home. You know, so, you know, with that, you know, Siena actually moved into first place. Right now they're currently 11-3. As we know, the MAC is going to go to total wins in conference. So, you know, them getting to 11-3 puts them in the driver's seat for first place. Monmouth is currently in second at 10-6. Marist is in third at 10-8. St. Peter's is currently in fourth now at 9-7. You know, they would have had an opportunity to, you know, be 10-6, get into, you know, potentially a tie for second place, you know, if they would have been able to get a sweep over Monmouth. I mean, excuse me, if they were able to get that sweep over Ryder, you know, they're 10-6, they're tied with Monmouth right in that driver's seat for potentially a second seed. You know, now they drop to 9-7, they're in fourth. And Niagara is sitting at fifth right now. They're 7-9. And then we have four teams who are tied with six wins. Obviously, we know Iona, I said that they're not going to play another game until the conference tournament, man. But big time games going on, you know, this weekend in the MAC because, like I said, man, when you look at that, obviously, we know right now, you know, the top five teams are going to get a bye, you know, obviously, but you have a team like Quinnipiac, man, who is hopefully to see maybe they can sneak their way into that fifth seed. They're playing St. Peter's actually as we speak. Monmouth is playing Ryder as we speak. Ryder's actually up 8 right now on Monmouth with a little bit about 2 minutes left in the first half. You know, Canisius is in the mix. So it's going to be a very interesting last weekend to see how these seeds fall and what the matchups are going to be like in the MAC going into Atlantic City.
Yeah, for sure, man. The MAC is a lot going on tonight, man. Like you just said, you know, Quinnipiac is playing right now. Ryder, Monmouth is playing right now. I was on the MAC coaches call on Tuesday, And a lot of coaches, I mean, one thing that's interesting with Canisius is that they're still applying for that waiver, so they can even be eligible to play in the postseason. Because right now, you know, they had that long quarantine. Reggie Witherspoon said that he had some guys that have been in quarantine for north of 100 days total, you know, this season, man. So they're, you know, right now only at 10 games played. They're 6-4. They're going to play tonight against Siena, obviously, but, you know, and get to 11 and then hopefully get to 12. But they have the petition for a waiver to even be eligible to play in the MAC tournament, which is going to start on Monday. Because as of right now, they aren't even eligible for the postseason because they've only played 12 games. Reggie Witherspoon said that he hopes to hear back from the NCAA soon, but they have not got word yet on that at the moment. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them to see if they're going to even be eligible, you know, for postseason play. Because obviously the NCAA came up, so you had to play at least 13 games. Every other team in the conference has gotten to that 13, except for Canisius, you know, who's currently right now at 6-4 and in the mix for a first-round bye. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that, man. But the MAC is going to be an extremely fun-to-watch conference, as it always is. Drew and I will be in Atlantic City for that MAC tournament next week, man, so we cannot wait, you know, to watch, you know, how all this action is going to shake out, man. Even a team like Manhattan, you know, who's lost 7 of 8 games, but, you know, Steve Masiello was as confident as ever on the other day on the MAC coaches call. He said he thinks his team is getting better. You know, he looks, you know, they've lost a bunch of close games. They've had games where they've had opportunities at the end, you know, and they dropped some close games that you know, typically they find ways to win. But it's a young team, a new team. Obviously, they mixed in a bunch of transfers to that fold. So I won't call them young team, but they have a bunch of new pieces with the transfers that they added this season, man. But yeah, they're sitting at 5-11, tied for essentially the last seed. But, you know, talent-wise, they're one of the most talented teams in the MAC, man. So it's going to be a fun tournament in Atlantic City.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you would have told me at the beginning of this year that going to the last weekend in the MAC, Manhattan would be tied for last place, I would have said, you're out of your mind. I said, you're crazy, you know, with the talent that they had, man. But one thing I will say, man, with this coronavirus pandemic, anything can happen in the NCAA tournament. I mean, God forbid, you know, so our team has to go on quarantine pause. And I'm a figurative knock on wood, because I want to put that in there for any teams that are playing the conference tournament. But, you know, I don't really know if there's really a favorite, man. We already heard, you know, obviously on that Matt coach's call, Rick Pitino's, you know, for me, it's like he's pretty much throwing the towel. I mean, he's all there talking about, yeah, I mean, we're just going to do the best we can, you know, do the big, pretty much, you know. I think somebody actually asked him, yeah, I mean, like, you know, obviously, you guys are playing well, man. You know, you guys are going to be off to the MAC tournament. You know, do you like what type of chance do you have in the tournament? He pretty much said, yeah, man, I don't think we have much of a chance. I don't know if those were his exact words, but he pretty much said something along the lines of, yeah, like, I don't like our odds, you know. So that was pretty interesting to say. I don't know if he was, you know, hedging his bets with that, you know, because obviously we know what type of coach he is, and you know, I know he's going to have his guy ready to play. You know, we're talking about guys throwing their back out, getting shot, trying to get back in shape. So I don't know, man. It seems like, you know, Pitino is sort of throwing in the towel a little bit for this MAC tourney. I don't know.
Yeah. Rick Pitino is being Rick Pitino. You know, he has a tendency to say, you know, Rick Pitino things. You know, so we'll I definitely would never count his team. I think he's definitely hedging his bets for sure. You know, I think he's going to, you know, obviously they have an extremely good player. Isaiah Ross, and obviously Nelly Jr. Joseph is one of the best freshmen in the conference, man. So there, obviously talking about Asante Gift, you know, him and Isaiah Ross, he joked, said he's going to apply for Social Security because they have some of the oldest, you know, backcourts in the MAC. Both of those guys are 24 years old, you know, playing college basketball, the same age as me and Drew. So, you know, they're going to, you know, old wins in college basketball, so I would never count them out. You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what they're going to do in the conference tournament, man. But time for my favorite mid-major conference, the SoCon. And it was an exciting, exciting conclusion to the regular season in the SoCon, man. UNCG was able to beat ETSU to secure the one seed in the regular season championship in the SoCon. Wofford was able to beat Furman. Furman had a chance with a win to knock up the number one seed in the regular season championship in the SoCon. But Wofford was able to get that win on its home court. They sweep the season series from Furman this season, which was extremely, extremely surprising, man. But that was a hell of a game to watch, that Wofford-Furman game. I mean, I was watching it in my car on my phone, man, and I almost had to pull over, you know, so I wouldn't crash because I was trying to watch the game and I was trying to, you know, make sure that I also had my eyes on the road, you know. But that was an absolutely, you know, absolute barn burner of a game to watch between those two guys, man. An extremely, extremely fun game. Noah Gurley had 29. He missed a three at the end that could have potentially won the game for Furman, man. But, you know, it was a hell of a game, man, to watch over and under SoCon, man. This conference tournament is going to be an absolute barn burner. I cannot wait. It's going to get started on Friday, tomorrow. So, you know, if you have some time, man, definitely tune into the SoCon conference tournament, man. It's going to be one of the most fun conference tournaments to watch, man. But definitely some huge results over the weekend with UNCG. They're a team that was picked first. You know, they were picked in the regular season to win SoCon. And they tripped up. You know, they lost to Cobman. They started slow in conference play, to be honest, man. It was looking like Furman or Wofford, one of those teams, was going to run away with the regular season, man. But lo and behold, UNCG, Wes Miller had his team right where they need to be at the end of the season, man. So they were able to secure that regular season championship out of the SoCon.
Yeah, man, I think definitely hats off to Wes Miller and his group, man, because we were able to obviously see them in that game against Coppin State when my guy Anthony Turk went off for 31. I'm thinking, I mean, this is a team that's picked to win the SoCon. I mean, either Coppin State is the best mid-major on the East Coast or UNCG ain't that good, man. But, you know, hats off to those guys, man, for, you know, playing their best basketball when it counts, man. I think that's one thing that great coaches do, man. Great coaches get their teams to play the best basketball in March, you know, and hats off to Ryan Odom for doing that, man. One thing I'm going to have my eye on in the tournament, man, you mentioned, we know how good of a team Furman is, man. Wolford swept them, so I'll be intrigued to see if there's a third matchup there in the conference tournament, you know, what happens there. I mean, we know how hard it is to be a team three times, man. It's like, obviously, Wolford has had their number in the regular season, and Wolford is a team that is experienced, have NCAA tournament pedigree, you know, so it'll be interesting to see, man, if they meet up for a third time, that would be a hell of a matchup.
Definitely would, man. You know, I've been high on Furman all year, so I'm not going to jump off the Furman bandwagon, man. I'm picking them to win the league and to get the automatic bid out of the SoCon, man. So it definitely will be a fun conference tournament to watch, man. That, like I said, that tournament is going to get underway on Friday. We'll have a few games to watch for later on in the show, but it's going to be a fun tournament, man. I mean, obviously, UNCG is great. Wofford is great. Furman is great. Chattanooga is a sleeper in that conference. They're a 5 seed. They're really good. ETSU, as we know, is really good, man. So, you know, it's going to be a fun conference tournament, man. So, I'm looking forward to seeing how that shakes out for sure.
Not for sure, man, for sure. And another conference that's going to get their conference tournament started pretty soon and that just concluded the regular season is the CAA. And it's crazy because, you know, Drexel was able to get a win over James Madison. You know, JMU was, you know, sitting there in first place. You know, they ended up giving up a game to Drexel 84-78 in a closely contested game. And so now, you know, it's a tie at the top of the CAA between JMU and Northeastern. You know, they're both sitting at 8-2. They split the series when they played up in Boston earlier in the year. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, I'm not really sure how the CAA did the seeds as far as who got the number one seed in the conference tournament, but you know those two teams are the top two seeds. So I mean, I don't know, man. It's setting up for some big time action in the CAA, man. I definitely can say, man, I was a little bit surprised that JMU did drop that game, you know. But like I said, man, if you're gonna lose, better lose, you know. But before the conference tournament, and in the conference tournament, but I don't know, man. I don't want to fight JMU, man. But I think if I had to pick a favorite in the CAA, I'm going Northeastern. And there's no other reason other than Tyson Walker. I think that he is, you know, the best player in the league. Obviously, you know, unfortunately, we heard, you know, the news, you know, Matt Lewis going down for JMU. Absolutely, you know, was a heartbreaker. And that definitely probably factored into, you know, this game, this Drexel game, you know. So I definitely think that if I had to pick a favorite, it would be Northeastern. I think they had the best player in the conference. I think they have a coach who was experienced, been there for a long time, has been in the NCAA tournaments. So I think that, you know, if I had to pick one, man, obviously, you know, Hofstra is the team that was, you know, they won the league last year, you know, but they haven't been out there. They've been out without their head coach. You know, they've kind of been up and down. You know, I don't think anybody in the league questions Hofstra's talent. You know, but I think, you know, when it comes to, you know, conference tournament time, I'm going to go with Northeastern if I had to pick a team out of the CAA.
Yeah, I was going to say, Drew, I mean, I actually meant to lead the show off with this, but this was probably the biggest news of the weekend. Matt Lewis out for the year with a knee injury for JMU. He was averaging essentially 20 points a game, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists for JMU, man. I mean, he was, you know, we talked to Pascal earlier in the year, and he said it was Matt Lewis, Tyson Walker, and then the rest of the conference as far as, you know, the play, the best players in the NCAA. And yeah, he had a chance to win Player of the Year in the CAA, man. I mean, he was having an absolutely spectacular year for James Madison. And for him to go down, he went down in that game against Hofstra, only played 13 minutes in that game versus Hofstra. And then obviously he was out, you know, for that game versus Drexel that they lost. But you absolutely, my heart absolutely breaks, you know, for a guy like Matt Lewis, man, for his season to end the way it did on a team, you know, that was shocking people, man. I mean, they were surprising, you know, everybody in the CAA, man, with the way that they were playing, man. So it's going to be, you know, I don't think I don't want to, you know, necessarily ever say they're not going to win, but I would be extremely, extremely surprised if this team, you know, is able to make some noise in the CAA tournament without Matt Lewis, man. I mean, that was huge news for them that he's now out for the year, man. So, you know, absolutely, absolutely heartbreaking, you know, for JMU, man. But I'm with you on the Northeastern pick. I probably would have picked them regardless of whether or not Matt Lewis was healthy, but it dang sure was going to be a conversation. I think they would have, you know, the tournament's at JMU.
That's the only thing I was thinking. I'm like, it's in their building, so I think it would have been healthy, and I think that would have been well for them.
Exactly. I mean, you know, if he's healthy, Thomas in your home gym, they for sure could have won it. You know, I'm saying if I was a betting man, I had to put money on it, I probably would have bet on Northeastern, but they for sure had a shot to win it. You know, that's not even up for debate. You know, anytime the conference tournament is in your home gym, you're the top seed, and you have arguably the best player or one of the best two players in the conference, you 100% have a shot. So that was heartbreaking news for me to hear that this weekend on Matt Lewis, man.
For sure, man. You know, to the MEAC, man, shout out to our alums, Hey Coppin. They were able to clinch at least a share of the MEAC North regular season title with a win over Delaware State, a sweep, actually. Elliott Tark absolutely dominated, excuse me, in that series. You know, game two, he was for 31, 11 for 11 from the field. Game one, he had 15 points, 15 rebounds. I think he had 5 assists. Absolutely filling up a stat sheet, man. The Tark brothers, you know, swept the Player of the Week honors. You know, Anthony Tark winning Player of the Week and Defensive Player of the Week. Nana Tark getting Rookie of the Week yet again. So, I mean, shout out to Coppin, man, for getting that done. You know, A&T pretty much clinched the MEAC South. They're 7-1. FAMU is sitting at 7-4 right now. So, I believe they've pretty much clinched the MEAC South. There are still a few games. Morgan is going to actually have a series against Delaware State that we're going to preview a little bit later, but with some big-time implications as far as seeding, you know, for that MEAC North and for the conference tournament, you know. But definitely had a shout-out my guys, you know, for getting that win, man. Wild Dixon has done an amazing job, you know, with that program, as well as Coach Auslander, you know, Coach Charles, Coach Chris, you know, all those guys have done an amazing job, man, at getting Coppin, you know, back to the top of the MEAC.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, Coppin has had an amazing year. I believe they were picked fourth in the MEAC North. I know they were picked behind Morgan. I know they were picked behind Norfolk. And they even picked Howard ahead of them.
Howard.
They got picked fourth in the MEAC North. So for them to be, you know, regular season champions at this point in time, you know, awaiting the results of that Morgan State and Delaware State game. But, you know, for them to be where they are right now is a testament to, you know, the players that were brought in there and, you know, the coaching and then, you know, obviously I don't want to leave out my guy, DeJuan Clayton, who's had an amazing, amazing year. Amazing career, honestly, at Coppin State, man. So those guys definitely are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the MEAC tournament, man. But I want to talk about some more conference tournament action. One of the arguably probably the most surprising result of the weekend was out of the Horizon League. And Milwaukee, the number 8 seed, knocks out Wright State, who was the top seed in the Horizon League tournament over the weekend, man. They were down 24 points in that game, and they came back, overcame a 24-point deficit to knock out the top seed in the Horizon League tournament in Wright State, man. I mean, that was definitely a shocker, man. But as my guy John Rothstein says, this is March, you know, and anybody, especially in this COVID year, man, it's on any given night, you know, you got to show up and play, man. So Milwaukee showed up. They didn't quit when they were down 24 to the top seed in the tournament. They were able to get a win over Wright State in the Horizon League, man. And this opens up a lot over there in the Horizon League. Now, you know, you're going to have a semifinal situation. I'm going to preview a couple of these games later on, man. But you got to see a semifinal in the Horizon League. Cleveland State, who you know, they tied for the regular season championship, but because of the tiebreaker, they had the second seed. They're going to play Milwaukee. Then Northern Kentucky, a team that has no stranger to success out of the Horizon League, is going to play Oakland Obviously, I got Daniel Oladapo, DMV guy, Bladensburg guys over there at Oakland. He's having a great year for them. Got a shout out my guy, Simon McCormick, who, you know, former Quinnipiac video coordinator, coached me and Drew for a year up there in Hamden, Connecticut. He's on staff in Northern Kentucky. And those guys are yet again in the mix, in the Horizon League, obviously, with Cleveland State and Milwaukee, man. So it's going to be a fun weekend of basketball out of the Horizon League. But that Milwaukee over Wright State game definitely was extremely, extremely surprising, given not only the siege, but the fact that they were down 24 points and were able to come back and win.
Now, for sure, man, I was going to say, man, I mean, a 24-point lead is a heck of a lead to overcome, man. Especially if you think about it, man. You're an 8 seed. You're playing the 1 seed. You're down 24. I mean, it's very easy to just pack it up. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, man, you know what? Down 20, against number 1 seed. The odds are stacked against us. You know, COVID year, we're getting this year back. It's very easy for teams to just pack it up, man. So, definitely want to shout out, you know, those guys, man, for, you know, continuing to fight, man, and overcoming that, because I can think of so many times, man, in the conference tournament where it's like, you know, you see teams really literally pack it up on the court, and it's just like, man, well, you're kind of throwing the white flag, man. But I think, man, that just says, man, this is going to be absolute pandemonium in this month of March. And I would go as far as to say that is not going to be the last number one seed that we see losing in the first game that they play, man. I'm going to predict that. I don't know where. I'm not sure where, but I will say that that's not going to be the last one seed to go down in the early rounds of the conference tournament.
Yeah, for sure, man. But, you know, speaking about one seed going down in the conference tournament, I got one seed that did not go down in the conference tournament, and that was Liberty. They were able to get a win in their opening round of their Atlantic Sun quarterfinal. They were able to beat Kennesaw State in round one. The Atlantic Sun conference tournament is going to be one that is extremely fun. One thing that's surprising about the Atlantic Sun is that they're actually letting Bellarmine play in the conference tournament, which is funky to me, because obviously they can't go to the NCAA tournament. But they're playing tonight at 7 o'clock against Stetson. So I think they're hoping that they lose, you know, in the conference tournament, because if they win, that would be a nightmare situation to try to tell somebody that, you know, even though they won the conference tournament, they can't compete, you know, in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. They're going to play Stetson tonight. Well, obviously, you know, Liberty was able to get a win in that first round quarterfinal matchup over Kennesaw State, and North Alabama was able to get a win over North Florida 68-60 to move on to the semifinals in the Atlantic Sun, man. So we'll see what happens with the rest of that conference tournament, especially, you know, we're going to have to, you know, watch what happens with Bellarmine. Lipscomb obviously is going to be in play as well. They're playing FGCU tonight at 7 as well. You know, so, you know, we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens with that situation down there in the Atlantic Sun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, I mean, if they can't go to the tournament, I don't see a situation why they would have them in the conference tournament. Because, I mean, even in the fact that they're playing, you're essentially taking a spot from somebody else. Like, would they make it all the way to the conference championship and then lose? I mean, that could be another team that could have got there and maybe would have been a different matchup. So it's interesting to see. I mean, I wonder if they got a waiver. Maybe they said they could play. I wonder what the logic is behind that, because like you said, man, that's a potential nightmare situation. If they win the league, it's like, all right, well, who goes to the tournament? Like, do you give it to the team that made it to the championship and lost? Like, you know, I mean, that's a interesting nugget to have to battle with. Do you give it to the regular season champs? Like, if are you going to go to Liberty, who won the regular season, and even if they get upset in the tournament? Like, I mean, I don't know what you do with that situation. So that's definitely interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, not for sure, man. The last conference that I want to touch on is the Patriot League, which is this is something, you know, sign of the COVID times, man. I mean, Loyola was able to advance in the Patriot League tournament because Holy Cross had a positive COVID-19 test, so they were disqualified from the Patriot League tournament. Loyola is going to move on to the next round now as a result of that, man. It's interesting to see how a lot of these conferences are, you know, handling this COVID stuff, because obviously we were on that MAC media call the other day, and Rich Enzer said that if a team has a positive test in the MAC, they're not going to be disqualified. So, and obviously that's the same way for the NCAA tournament in Indianapolis. Mark Emmert said that, you know, if a team tests positive, if a player tests positive in the tournament, that team is not disqualified. You just have to have, you know, I know Rich Enders said it for the MAC, you have to have, if you have 8 players, you're required to play. And if you have at least 6 players that clear protocol, then it's up to you. You have to have at least 6 to play. But if you have 6, then you can play. And if you have 8, then you have to play. So obviously they're going to be doing contact tracing, you know, and seeing, you know, who's susceptible to be, you know, to be, you know, potentially a positive and who's safe to play. But if they do deem you safe to play, you know, you are you know, allowed to compete. So now Loyola, I'm going to move on and play Navy in the quarterfinal round of the Patriot League tournament due to that positive test for Holy Cross.
Yeah, man, the Patriot League has been a stickler all year with the COVID. Obviously, you know, they didn't have a non-conference. They had, I believe it was BU playing with masks, I want to say.
Yeah, BU Holy Cross played a game with masks earlier in the year. BU had a campus-wide mandatory that all home games at BU's campus had to be played in masks.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Patriot League has definitely been, you know, no sucker when it comes to COVID regulations, man. So my heart definitely does go out to Holy Cross for that, man. You hate to see a team, you know, season ended due to COVID, man. We just saw in the NEC, you know, Bryant had a what's being called now, I believe, a false positive is what I'm hearing, is what social are telling me. So they're going to be good to go in the NEC tournament. And that's kind of a perfect segue actually into the NEC. Like we mentioned earlier, man, Wagner was able to sweep Merrimack to win the regular season title. And then with that, Bryant actually locked up the 2 seed, you know, so Bryant is going to see Sacred Heart in that first round of the NEC tournament, while Wagner is going to see Mount St. Mary's. And but I don't want to spoil too much of the NEC talk and the conference tournament talk, because we do have Alex Morales of the Wagner Seahawks on the podcast. Is going to, you know, talk to us about the regular season title, you know, impending conference tournament that's going to get started this weekend, and what they're going to have to do to make a run into the NCAA tournament. So without further ado, we're going to get you guys over to our interview with Alex Morales now.
All righty, guys. We're live here on another episode of the Auto Bid. We are joined by Wagner guard Alex Morales, who just finished up a regular season championship in the NEC last night. So thanks for hopping on with us, Alex.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
No problem at all, man. So, I mean, obviously, last night was a huge night for you guys. I was able to, you know, cut down the nets and clinch a regular season championship, man. I mean, how did that feel, you know, climbing that ladder and cutting down those nets last night in your home gym?
It felt extremely good. It was, after having a season like we had last year, it's just everything we worked for, all the hard work we put in, every day in practice, it felt unreal.
Now, you guys are a team that, I mean, you guys kind of have been on a tear recently. Like, I think you guys have won, like, 9 out of your last 10 games or something like that. At the start, all kind of shaky, man. Just talk about the run that you guys have been able to put together, man, in this second half of the NEC season, to where you guys kind of ran away with the league, essentially, in that second half of the season.
Yeah. From the beginning, it's kind of a difficult year. As you know, we played one conference game. So, like, every team needs to go through things to get to their highest point that they compete at. So, like, us being able to – and usually teams go through that during non-conference. So, being that we only played one non-conference game, which was Seton Hall, we jumped right into conference play. So, it was like we haven't really battled. We weren't really battle ready. So, us starting this conference all 1-4 gave us, like, hunger. It gave us – it made us real to the basketball world. Like, it's here. Like, we gotta figure it out now. And we won 10 in a row. Unfortunately, we took an L. And then we finished the season off with two huge wins to cap off a great regular season.
Now, you mentioned it. I mean, you guys started 1-4, and then you lost that first game to LIU, and then you guys ran off 10 straight. I mean, what changed for you guys, you know, after that 1-5 start, you know, that propelled you guys, obviously, after that to win your next 10 games?
I mean, the recipe was always the same. It's just what really happened was we put through stuff every day by coach during practice. We just became battle ready. You know, you get better and better as you go through things, and day in and day out, we go through things every day up here. So it just brought us stronger, and then we just stay hungry throughout those 10 games. And, you know, we're pick 8th, so that's always been in the back of our minds. That's something we bring up daily. So every night we go out, we compete, we remind each other that we was pick 8th preseason. So.
Now, you mentioned it, man. Obviously, like, you know, the difference between last year's team and this year's team, obviously this year, you know, you guys going in, being able to win the regular season and going into the NEC tournament as a 1 seed. What do you think was the biggest difference between last season and this season that kind of allowed you guys to kind of, you know, improve and have the season that you guys had this year?
I feel like just experience. Like last year we had 10 new guys, and unfortunately we couldn't figure out how to win with 10 new guys until like towards the end of the season. We won like probably like 3 in a row. But that going into this season, it gave us like life. It showed us that this group right here isn't last season. It's something special. So just experience and just building bonds with each other over the past year with the same guys that was there last year and now the same guys that we have this year.
Now, you guys started off in junior college. You know, you were down here at PG Community College down here in Maryland and was able to earn a scholarship at Wagner, you know, and now you're, you know, widely recognized as one of the best players in the NEC. I mean, talk a little bit about your journey, man, and the transformation that you made, and the sacrifices, you know, going to junior college and, you know, now to where you are today, being one of the best players in the NEC.
So out of high school, I really didn't have anywhere to go. Like basketball was just pretty much done. And I ran into some people who helped me eventually. She just walked out. My bad. I ran into some people who connected me with Coach Brian Johnson at Prince George. When I first got there, I wasn't like being away from home. It was tough. So I was ready to leave, but all the people in my corner helped me realize that it was the best choice for me. And then, early at Prince George, I found out that I was having a baby. So that made it even more extremely difficult. So I knew I was going to have to sacrifice a lot of time away from my son's mom. My son. So it was difficult there, but I had a lot of people in my corner backing me up. When I got my first offer from Kinesis at Prince George, I felt it made me like see things as like, yo, I really could do something with this basketball thing, you know. So from there on, I started like taking it like extremely serious, and then just being at Prince George, I ran into a lot of people who helped me, just life-changing scenarios, like Coach William West, Coach Butch. He did a lot to help me get where I am today. The women's coach there, the athletic director, just a bunch of people up there. They just helped me mold into the person I am right now. I started getting a lot of interest, a lot of offers from Division I, and it just felt good that like work that I was putting in was actually paying off. My biggest sacrifice there is that my son being in New Jersey and me being in Maryland, that was probably the toughest thing. Like, you know, like him learning how to walk, I'm not there. Him, you know what I'm saying? Like, just learning how to do things, like first birthdays and all that stuff. But His mom did a really good job at, like, you know, like helping me be there for those moments, FaceTimes, you know, videos. She actually moved down there with me my second season there, so I could focus in and I could be around him. So she sacrificed a lot too. So yeah, just got a lot of people in my corner that just really just helped me up, helped me become the person I am today, kept me sane, kept me locked into this opportunity that I have now. Now here, me here being at Wagner, these coaches really push you to be like the best you could be on and off the court. So like, it's like my journey has just been like, I've just been growing, learning, you know, for the real world, for basketball, on, off the court. I'm just blessed to be around, be in the situation that I was put in out of high school. So,
for sure, man. I mean, first of all, man, I definitely think you have a admirable story, man. I'm a guy, obviously, me and my brother, man, we're born here in the DMV, man. So, you going to PG definitely, you know, heard your name, man, and it definitely is honorable to see what you're able to do now. And obviously, with your son, man, congratulations on that, man. I think that's definitely admirable, man. So, I definitely want to give you a shout out for that, man. But for the people who don't really know Alex Morales, man, who they don't know, they might not catch too many NEC games. Describe your game, what you bring to the floor, and kind of for people who might have never seen you play, man, just describe the kind of player that you are.
I'm just a all around player. I just do it all. Whatever is needed on the court, whatever coach needs me to do, I'm just ready to do it. I'm able to do it. God willing. If you need me to guard a 5, 4, 3, whatever, I'm doing it. If you need me to score, I'm gonna do it. If you need me to pass, get my teammates better, whatever it is, I'm gonna do it. And whatever it takes to win, I'm a win at all costs type of guy. If it's not my night and I know it ain't my night, I'm gonna find somewhere else to help the team win. You understand? You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm just versatile. I'm just all around player. Like if you watch me play, you'll know that my game backs what I'm saying up.
Now you mentioned versatility, and you know that's what I see when I watch you play. I mean, you averages, you know, over 17 a game, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. You were top 20 at one point in time in the season in assists in the country, and you got, you know, 6'6". Also, you average 2 steals a game. I mean, talk to me about the different ways that you go try to affect the game. I mean, obviously, your guy that can do a lot. You can handle the ball. You can play in boss games, but you can also catch it, you know, play in the mid post. I mean, you know, just talk about your game and the ways that you try to, you know, affect the game in all those different ways, you know, on the court.
Yeah, first, I start off the game. My mindset is just to play hard. That's the first step into entering the game. Like, you know, some people get caught up in the statistics. Like you said, I was top 20 in assists and all that. I'm just here to win. I'm trying to go out there and play hard, help my team be in the best possible way, positioned to win. So if I need to get a steal, I'm going to get it. If I need to get a rebound, I'm going to get it. If I need to get a bucket, I'm going to get it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like whatever is needed, I'm doing it. And I want to win at all costs. So whatever it takes, I'm going to do it.
Now, the NEC is one of the unique conferences where only 4 teams make the conference tournament. Talk about, like, the grind that is. I mean, going through the regular season and knowing that, like, you know, every game potentially could, you know, drop you from first place to literally fifth or sixth place. I mean, it's only like a game or two of separation between, you know, you guys and a team that's in fifth or sixth, like a St. Francis Brooklyn or, you know, some of the other teams that was, you know, right there, you know, for that top 4. What was that like, just this playing through that season, man, and having that in the back of your mind where, like you guys mentioned in the beginning, you guys started, you know, 1-4 and then had to kind of make up a lot of ground to get to where you are now?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at the standings, like, 1 week we're in 10th, 2 weeks later we're in first. So it's like it's just crazy. And then you playing back-to-backs, like, day off, then back-to-backs again. It's just like it's an opportunity for everybody in the league to finish top 4. And in this league, every game counts, and every game is a tough game. Like, it's no blowouts. It's none of that. It's always a tough game. So, like, your biggest thing in this league is every night you got to compete at the highest level, or you could potentially drop from first place. You could drop all the way to eighth place. Like, and last year we with the season we had, we were 1 game away from making the playoffs. We won 8 games last year, 6 games last year. And we ultimately came up short by 1 game. We got eliminated by 1 game. We lost a game and we were out of the playoffs. So it just shows you is that, like, even in the regular year, it's just this league is just balanced. It's just simple. It's just you win. It's just crazy. This league is unique.
Now obviously, you know, you guys lead the NEC right now. I don't know if you noticed, but you guys lead the NEC right now in made field goal percentage. Obviously, you guys have a lot of talent. You got 4 guys that are having double figures. But, I mean, what goes into that? Is it just, you know, the skill set, or is that something that coach emphasizes and practices, you know, trying to get the best shot? Because, obviously, you know, it's not easy to lead the conference in field goal percentage. So, you know, what goes into that for you guys?
It's just knowing one another, knowing our strengths. Coach does a good job in putting us into positions that strengthens our strengths. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, there's no egos on the team. That's what I can really say. It's no, oh, he got the best 3-point percentage, so I want to shoot threes now. I want to have the best. It's none of that. It's just, if you know your game, you know your game. You take the shots that you – day in and day out, we each and every one of us take the shots that we take. Like, it's no – egotistical things going on. So it's like that helps us a lot. So, like, if we got slashers, they're gonna slash. They're not gonna be come out 1 game and say, I want to shoot threes. It's just everybody knowing their role helps us a lot in that category.
Now,
You guys are gonna see Marseille. I mean, yeah, you guys are gonna see Marseille Mary's in the NEC tournament semifinal this week. What are you guys doing to kind of prepare for a game against the Mount this year? Obviously, you know, with two games and you're potentially gonna be able to lock down a chance to go to the NCAA tournament.
We just do what we do all year. We're one of the best teams at preparation. So everything we do day in and day out prepares us each and every day. So we just film, walk through, you know what I'm saying? It's just regular preparation. So coach does a great job at that. So we'll be ready.
I mean, for you, for your team, I guess, you guys average about 73 points a game. I mentioned earlier that you guys have four guys that average double figures. You, as well as the larger four, both are averaging north of 17 points a game. And you guys are only fifth, I mean, in the NEC in scoring. I mean, you know, the NEC is such a fast-paced league. A bunch of – obviously, Brian, I think, leads the country right now in tempo, and it might be second. I mean, talk about the pace in the NEC and how fun it is playing in a conference and for a team, you know, where you got multiple guys that can go out there and average double figures, high-scoring games. I mean, what is that like for you as a player?
I mean, being versatile is great. You know, one day I could my team could need me to – the game would show me 8 assists, 7 assists, 10 assists, and then the next night on a back-to-back, it could show me 3 assists and 20 points or 25 points. So it's just that's just the beauty of this league. It's just one night it could be this, and then the next night it's something completely different. So, I mean, especially having guys on the team that can do things, it just feel good. It just relieves pressure off each and every one of us.
Now, one of the major things that's been kind of just covering basketball and watching how things have unfolded from the media side this year is, obviously, you guys swept Mount St. Mary's earlier in the season. I think we all know as Hoopers, man, it's hard to beat a team three times in a season. So what was one thing that you guys are kind of focusing on going to that game and kind of make sure that, you know, there isn't a slippage or that, you know, the third time doesn't end up in, you know, in Mount St. Mary's kind of getting you guys in that third game?
Yeah. Each night we prepare for other teams, but each night it's just about us. We feel like we dictate the way our games are either won or lost. So if we going out and playing our best basketball, or we're playing hard or executing or whatever it is, that's the outcome that we'll get. So we're good. We're good with whatever outcome we get, as long as we dictate the outcome of it. Understand? So it's like, if we go out there and play hard, give it our best, then the ball bounce our way. If not, then we give it, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, we try not to, like, focus on all that. We beat them twice already. We just going to go play basketball. We're going to play it our way, and we go from there.
And I mentioned earlier, in my opinion, I think, you know, you're one of the best players in the conference. Obviously, your teammate Elijah Ford is having a great year. Pete Kiss is having a great year at Bryan. And Mikey Green as well having a great year. I mean, what would it mean for you potentially to be able to win a Player of the Year award in the NEC this year?
It'll mean the most. I mean, from coming where I'm coming from, that ain't given. Is you got to work for that. That's just not something you wake up and you just get. I mean, I put in the work to be where I'm at right now, and I'm gonna continue to put in the work, whether that's what it is or what it's not. And for my teammate, he put in the work with me. So in the off season and quarantine, we actually stay together. So we live together. We stay in the same house. So we put in the work together. So him having this year is no surprise to me. Surprise to everybody else, being that what he had last year. But I know what he's capable of. So, you know what I'm saying? This year, this ain't no surprise to me. And he got more. So, we're going to keep going.
Now, obviously, man, you mentioned, you know, being from where you're from. And obviously, and you're a guy that's from New Jersey. You know, me and Ace, you know, we're two DMV guys on this podcast. So, you know, we tend to be a little biased to guys in our neighborhood. But talk about for you, man, what it means to kind of be from Jersey and, you know, playing on this level at the Division I level, having this success, and kind of what it means to you to kind of be able to kind of represent, you know, your neighborhood and put Jersey on your back.
I mean, it feels good. We got a couple big names coming out of Jersey too, so it feels good to follow some of their footsteps. I got some. It's a couple people who's either overseas or in the league that that gave Jersey the map and to follow their footsteps to continue that going. That just feels good. And I'm gonna keep going, and I'm gonna just keep going to the top. And when I get there, it's just gonna feel even better because of where I came from. And being from Jersey, you know that it's Jersey strong right now.
Now for you, man. I mean, obviously, you know, you guys as well as Bryant are two of the best teams in the NEC. Bryant has some work to do, and you know, as do you guys this weekend in the conference semifinals. But obviously, they swept you guys early in the year. I mean, if you guys would get, you know, a chance to play them for a chance to go to this NCAA tournament, I mean, what would it mean to you to be able to beat them and be able to cut down the nets in your senior season?
It'll mean the most. You know, we played them early in the season, so like I said, we're battle ready, and that's the team that you got to be battle ready for, you know, with how well they play. I mean, just winning it overall, no matter who we play, it's just going to feel like everything. It's going to feel like, it's going to feel unreal. It's going to feel great. So I'm looking forward to it.
That is something that has been in the back of a lot of players' minds all year, obviously with COVID. And in the beginning of the season with the NCAA saying that they're going to allow players to kind of take a extra year, on that this year is kind of like a free year due to all the, you know, restrictions and things like that. For you, being a senior, being a guy who's, you know, playing in junior college, had a great year at the D1 level now, how do you balance that decision? Like, all right, you know, do I come back to school for another year? You know, do I go pro? Do I want to explore options? Like, how do you kind of balance that, you know, with that in the back of your mind? Like, dang, man, like, I could potentially come back for another year of college if I want to.
I mean, you know, I try not to, like think about that right now because I'm in season right now. I'm saying I'm with my brothers. I'm in battle right now. I'm locked in. So when that does come across my mind, because obviously it does, I just try to like push it away because I'm focusing on right now, and I got a goal individually, and I have a goal with my brothers to go to the top, go to where the furthest we could go. So when I'm trying my hardest not to even worry about that right now until that time comes. And when that time comes, then I'll talk to the people that help me out, people I love, my coaches, everybody. And that's just a decision I'll have to make when that time comes.
Not for Wagner, you know, this you guys' third regular season championship in 6 years, which is a testament to your head coach, Bashir Mason. I mean, you know, talk a little bit about him and your relationship with him and, you know, how he has been able to, you know, coach you guys, you know, through, you know, a 1-4 start to now, you know, winning his third regular season championship in the last 6 years.
Yeah, Bosh is a great coach. He, the same way we struggled last year with 10 new people, it's just like, he didn't know, like, us, our personalities, or anything. And, like, being with him for that year, he learned us. He learned our tendencies. He studied us. He does a good job with preparation. He does a good job to push us, make us play at our best ability. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. And he's straightforward. He'll tell you how it is. He'll tell you what's your strength. He'll tell you what's your weaknesses. And he's just a good guy. He prepares you for life. He cares about life after basketball. He cares about off-the-court things. It's just – He's a good guy. He's a good guy to be around, and I'm happy that I chose to come here and play under him.
Now, like Ace mentioned, man, this is your guys' third time winning the regular season. Obviously, the last two times you guys fell short in the NEC tournament. What do you think y'all gonna have to do to make this time different, man? To finally be able to, you know, take your regular season conference championship and be able to punch your ticket into the big dance, you know, the third time around.
Yeah, I'm not really. Like, that's only my second year, so I'm not really sure what they did or whatever. But I know that this team right here, all we got to do, we got to stay locked in. We got to do what we've been doing and just play how we've been playing. And whatever happens, happens. And I feel like we got a strong chance at finishing this thing the right way. The players we have, the coaches we have, we got something special here.
Well, you know, me and Drew are definitely going to be tuned in this Saturday, you know, when you guys played Mount St. Mary's, man. I said before, you know, we both enjoyed, you know, watching your games this year and seeing the success that you've been able to have on the court and your team, man. So best of luck this Saturday, man. We don't want to take up too much of your time, man, but me and Drew definitely be tuned in and, you know, good luck going forward.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
No problem at all.
All righty, guys. That was Alex Morales, man. Definitely want to give a shout out to him, man. The Wagner team. You know, shout out to head coach Bashir Mason for wrapping up, you know, the Seahawks' third regular season title since 2016, man. So, you know, we'll see if they can get it done, man. Like I said, third time is the charm sometimes, man. So, you know, we'll see if they can, you know, have what it takes to kind of, you know, get the ball rolling, man, and actually, you know, push down that door and get back to the NCAA tournament.
Sure, man. I mean, they're going to have, you know, a heck of a force to go through. And Bryant, obviously, we had Coach Chris Cole from Bryant on here earlier. You know, now we've had Alex Morales. I would love to see those two teams match up in the conference tournament, man. You Peter Kisser, Mikey Green, you know, versus Alex Morales and Elijah Ford. You know, four of the top, I think four probably the top, like, six or seven players in the NEC right there in those four guys, man. So, you know, that would be a battle of epic proportions if those teams were to match up. Obviously, Jared Grosso is a great coach. And Bashir Mason is a great coach, man. So, great coaching battle, great athletic battle, man. I'm rooting this for a Bryant Wagner final. That would be extremely fun to watch, you know, out of the NEC.
Yeah, man, hopefully we do get that, man. Obviously, that would be a high-scoring game. Obviously, you know, Wagner has four guys averaging double figures. I believe Bryant has at least four, maybe five. I know, you know, Pete Kiss, Mikey Green, Charles Pride, Chris Childs all average double figures. You know, so that would definitely be a high-scoring affair, man. Definitely, you know, we'll see, man. Like I said, I'm sure Mount St. Mary's and Sacred Heart will have something to say about that for sure. You know, but, you know, we'll have to see, man. Definitely going to be, you know, a fun tournament, you know, out there in the NEC.
Not for sure, man. I mean, one thing that's going to be in Wagner's favor is that, you know, that they have home court advantage. So they're going to get two home games. Obviously, we know the NEC is one of the tournaments that allowed the higher seed to host. You know, so, you know, Wagner's going to be at home for both of those games. So definitely going to be interesting to see how those shake out. Bryant's going to have to get one home game. And then a potential championship game would be on the road at Wagner, man. So I'm gonna have my eyes out for that game, man. I'm definitely – and for those of you who haven't, man, make sure you guys go and watch this Alex Morales kid play, man. He's extremely special, man. A guy can score, like I said in the podcast, man, can score at all three levels, can pass, can really pass the ball, has great feel, can play out of the high post, and gets done on the defensive end, man. He's definitely, you know, one of the best-kept secrets in the mid-major land.
And for sure, man, for sure. Ace, you know, but – without further ado, it is time for one of our favorite segments, and that is the craziest thing we saw, man. So, Ace, what you got for us?
Yeah, man, the craziest thing I saw was this for this particular kid, I don't even want to say it's crazy because I've heard this guy going for big nights on a regular basis, but Antoine Davis, Detroit Mercy, in the opening round of the Horizon League Championship, scores 46 points to lead Detroit Mercy over Robert Morris and to advance in the Horizon League Championship tournament, man. 16 for 26 from the floor, 10 for 16 from three in 38 minutes of action, man. Also had five assists and two rebounds. But, I mean, he almost had a half a century on Rob Morris, man. I mean, I think that might be the highest performance that we've seen all year. I don't think anybody has got 50 this year. I could be wrong. You know, I hope I didn't miss that, but – I'm pretty sure that was the highest point performance that we've seen all year, 46 points. I mean, what it must be like to play for your dad, man. I mean, that light is ultra fluorescent green at all times. I mean, this dude right here is a volume scorer, man. And like I said, he's done it before. He averages 24 points a game, about five assists per game, man. So he is an absolute electric scorer, man. I mean, last year he averaged 24. He averaged 26 as a freshman. You know, so, I mean, this dude's got to be on track to score about 3,000 points. I mean, he got to have passed 2,000 by now. I mean, 26, 24, 24. He's got to be closing in on 3,000 at some point in time. So, that was a crazy thing that I saw this week, that 46 ball. Unfortunately, they did lose in the next game in the Horizon League tournament to Northern Kentucky by one. They lost 70-69. They were able to keep him in check. He had 16 points that game. So, you know, hey, slow Antoine walking down, you got a chance to beat Detroit Mercy. But Robert Moore definitely could not do it because he almost went for 50 on them in that opening round game.
Yeah, man. I mean, Antoine Davis is no stranger to scoring. Like I said, he averaged 26 as a freshman. I remember when he was a freshman, he was putting up crazy numbers. I'm pretty sure he led the nation in scoring that year too, if I'm not mistaken. If he didn't lead the nation in scoring, he would definitely have a second or third. But I'm pretty sure he led the nation in scoring, man. It's crazy. He just dropped off significantly from there. You know, only averaged 24 the last 2 years. But, I mean, yeah, this guy comes back next year, man, and you know, for that fourth year, I mean, he's definitely going to break some records. he's definitely a very talented guy, man. The crazy thing is, man, he shoots 90 over 90 from the free throw line, man. He shoots 91.7% from the free throw line, you know, 37% from three, 42% from the field, man. This is actually his most efficient year from the field. Like I said, also, you know, shooting his best year from the line, best year from the field, you know, and so I think that this guy is a I don't know, man. Like I said, I think that, you know, when we talk about the NBA, man, I think this is somebody I got to get to the shot. You know, I don't know if he'll get drafted or not. You know, maybe, like I said, he's definitely a volume scorer. But, you know, hey, man, I mean, shoot, if he goes up next year, averages north of 25 points a game, I don't really see how you don't get this guy a shot, man. But anytime you could put 46, you know, in a conference tournament like that, and for you guys who don't who never play college basketball, I mean, conference tournaments is different from a regular game. I'm talking about from a prep standpoint, it's different. From a scouting report standpoint, from a film standpoint, everything leading up to a game in the conference tournament is magnified times 10. You're that much more detail-oriented. You've most likely seen the team already twice. Most times, if you're in major leagues, you know, you play everybody twice, unless you're at MEAC, where you've played teams four times in the regular season. So, you know, these teams are all the time in the conference tournament. You know, you're no stranger to these guys, man. So for you to go off in the conference tournament and have 46 is definitely not something that you see a lot, man. So definitely hats off to him, man, for doing that, man. That was definitely a very, very valid candidate for the craziest thing we saw, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. But, you know, without further ado, got to get you ready for the weekend action, man. And it's going to be a jam-packed week, man. So I'm gonna start it off. Before we get to conference tournament action, a big regular season game out of the Mountain West is going to be Colorado State is going to travel to Nevada. And now this game got postponed. This was a two-game series that got postponed because of COVID-19. But they're gonna battle out for a one game matchup between those two teams. For Colorado State, man, I mean, this is a game that you definitely have to get. You know, obviously they're still in play. I believe for a regular season championship, they're tied in the loss column with San Diego State, and they split with them in the regular season. So I don't know how that tiebreaker would work. I think I did hear that San Diego State has a tiebreaker. I don't know how, because they did split. But Colorado State, you know, to have a shot. I could be wrong, you know, but to have a shot, a regular season title would be huge for them. They're going to travel to Nevada. Nevada is a team that obviously plays extremely well at home. So this is a dangerous game, man. If you drop this game for Colorado State, now you're trending, you know, you're going to have some work to do in the conference tournament, man. But if you can win this game, you know, and go into the conference tournament with some momentum, you know, right now they're currently on a 5-game winning streak. You get this one, you're on a 6-game winning streak coming into the conference tournament. I think you'll be feeling good about your chances to get into the field of 68. You know, so we'll see if they can get it done.
Now, for sure, man, we'll definitely have to see, you know, with that one, man. I think, you know, for the Mountain West, I think you want Colorado State to pull this one out, because I think for the Mountain West, obviously, you want to have as many teams as possible in the NCAA tournament. So they need Colorado State to kind of hold form here and do what they're supposed to do, get that win. And hopefully, obviously, we know San Diego State is going to be in. Utah State is looking like they're probably going to be in after the win over Nevada. I think Colorado State can kind of do the same for the chances if they can also cement themselves with the win over Nevada and obviously hold serve in a conference tournament. Obviously, like we mentioned earlier, it's going to be up in the air for Boise, you know, but definitely a big-time game in the Mountain West nonetheless.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, I think that's probably the biggest – regular season game. Now we got a whole bunch of conference tournaments that are tipping off this weekend, man. And one matchup that I'm going to be looking for is in the Patriot League. They're getting a tournament. Obviously, they started a tournament this week and actually going to continue this weekend with the quarterfinals. One matchup that I got circled on my calendar is BU and Colgate. Now, Colgate beat BU four times in the regular season, but BU is a team that was picked to win the league. Obviously, they won the league last year and didn't get a chance to go dancing because of coronavirus, man. But, you know, if we talk about hard to beat a team three times, it's even harder to beat a team five times. You know, so I can't even imagine what goes into that prep, having to prepare to play a team for a fifth time this season, man. So that's going to be an interesting matchup just because of the fact that Colgate is definitely, you know, the best team in the Patriot League. But BU is a team that, you know, is talented. They're well coached. Got to give a shout out to my guy Joe Jones for the job that he's done over the years there. You know, getting that first NCAA tournament berth last year. Obviously, they didn't get to play, but you know, for Colgate, you've won 10 in a row. The team you beat four times. It's easy to come into that game, you know, with a lapse or, you know, a lapse in focus. So potential upset alert out of the Patriot League. I'm going to have that circled on my calendar. It's going to be BU and Colgate, 1 p.m. This weekend. So definitely one of my games to watch from the Patriot League.
Not for sure, man. I think that's definitely interesting, man. But I think it's kind of a catch 22 because on the one hand, you know, it's like, all right, it's hard to beat a team five times in a season for sure. So that would definitely play into BU's hands. Obviously, they're also the defending champs. You know, but on the other hand, it's like, dang, I mean, that's a hell of a mental block to get over. It's like, hey, this team beat us four times. He's like, do you really believe that you could beat this team going into a conference tournament, a team that beat you four times already? You know, it's like if you get down early, that's one situation where, like, all right, man, we're going to just throw it in here because, like I said, man, this team kind of has our number. You know, so that would definitely be interesting to see. I think, like I said, man, it's kind of a catch 22, man. But, you know, to the A-10, obviously, it's going to be a hell of a conference to watch, man, for the conference tournament. Right now, currently, Dayton is looking like they're going to defeat URI. They're up 76-62 right now with 4 minutes left. Ibby Watson has 25 points, three assists and two rebounds right now. So, you know, Dayton with a 14-point lead over URI. So it's looking like Dayton is going to advance. The next game in that A-10 tournament is actually going to be GW and Mason. They're going to tip off these two teams just faced off not too long ago in Fairfax in the latest edition of the Revolutionary Rivalry. Mason was able to come from behind. They were down 12 points in the first half, and they were able to get a win over GW. So we know GW defeated Fordham in that first round of the A-10 tournament. So definitely going to be a great, great game to watch this evening. That's going to tip off very soon, as soon as the day in the URI game is over. Tomorrow, we're going to get into the quarterfinals in the A-10. We're going to have Bonnies. You know, St. Bonnies are going to see Duquesne, who just pulled off probably the biggest upset in the A-10 tournament thus far. I don't even know if I can really call it upset because Duquesne is a very good team. You know, but Duquesne is going to see St. Bonnies. UMass is going to see St. Louis, and VCU and Davidson are going to be awaiting some winners. I mentioned earlier, man, I was going to give you guys an upset pick. I would not be surprised if UMass beat St. Louis in the A-10 tournament. I know St. Louis is a team that's extremely, extremely talented, man, but I think UMass is an underdog, man, and you know they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. They know that a lot of people don't really expect them to win this game. A lot of people don't really expect them to win the A-10 at all. But I think UMass has one of the best players in the A-10 that nobody really talks about, and that's Trey Mitchell. You know, a kid that was a top 100 recruit, you know, preseason first team, all A-10 for good reason. I'm pretty sure he's averaging, you know, north of 18 points a game this year. And like I said, man, St. Louis has been very inconsistent this year, man. They've been up and down. You know, they've lost some games that, quite frankly, I don't think they should have lost. You know, so I think that if there's anybody that's going to be, you know, on upset alert, it would definitely be St. Louis, man, because this UMass team is definitely playing with a chip on their shoulder, man. Trey Mitchell at 15-11, you know, that first game, he's averaging 18-7 on the season. So I definitely will have that matchup circled on my calendar for tomorrow.
Sure, man. Heading to the SoCon, there's going to be some great, great action. We talked about they're going to get their conference tournament started this weekend, man, on Friday. And then on Saturday, we're going to have some great matchups in the quarterfinal round. We're going to have ETSU and Chattanooga. That's going to be a great, great matchup Saturday at 2:30 that we're going to see in the SoCon. And also going to see BMI and Furman. Now, BMI beat Furman their only matchup this season, man. So the military schools in the SoCon were extremely tough all year, BMI and the Citadel. I don't think Furman's going to lose again, but definitely, you know, an intriguing game to watch. For sure, in the conference tournament. ETSU and Chattanooga, that's going to be a heck of a game. You know, your four or five matchups are always a doozy. Chattanooga coming in at 9-7, ETSU at 8-7. You know, so I think it's going to be a fun weekend of basketball in the SoCon. You know, it always is, and I don't think that this weekend would be any different. I don't want to skip anybody. You know, we're all going to see Western Carolina and Citadel in the opening round on Friday. And then Sanford and Mercer are also going to play on Friday in the opening round as well. Mercer and the team, they're playing on the first day. It's extremely hard, obviously, when you got to win, you know, four games as opposed to three. But Mercer is a team. I don't know, you know, if they win at all, but they could definitely get, you know, a quarterfinal upset, semifinal upset. They're a talented team, obviously. They're a team that beat Georgia Tech earlier on in the season, which, you know, Georgia Tech is looking like they're going to be an NCAA tournament team this year. You know, so we'll see what happens in the SoCon, but it always is a fun conference, and I don't think that this year will be any different in the conference tournament.
And for sure, man, I think to the MAC we go. The MAC is going to be wrapping up the regular season this year. This season. So we have some action actually again taking place right now. Currently, man, Quinnipiac has a 10-point lead over St. Peter's right now with about 13 minutes to go in that second half. They're up 45-35. You know, we know that St. Peter's is a great defensive team, so that you know, it's not really surprising me that game has been in the 30s and 40s. And Monmouth has a 1-point lead over Ryder right now at 47-46. So that's going to be a tussle to see, you know, if Monmouth can kind of close that game out, get to 11 wins and kind of get back in the mix for that number one seed. I think it'll also be interesting to see if Quinnipiac can finish this one. You know, we know Quinnipiac is a team that has had trouble closing games this year. We saw, you know, them blow a big lead at Monmouth when they had the game essentially won. They were up double digits in that first half against Canisius at home, ended up dropping that one. So, you know, we'll see if Quinnipiac can hold on here against St. Peter's and get to 7-9, which will put them tied with Niagara for that fifth seed as of right now. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But like I said, we'll see what happens with these games. We're also going to have Fairfield and Manhattan tipping at 6 p.m. Canisius and Siena are going to tip at 7 p.m. And then the MAC is going to start the conference tournament March 8th in Atlantic City. So these games that are going on right now are going to have, you know, huge, huge implications as far as where these teams are going to fall, you know, in that bracket.
Not for sure, man. I think, you know, like I said, the MAC tournament is going to be extremely fun, and we're going to be there, man. Another tournament that's going to be fun is the OVC. Obviously, with news with Nick Mazinski, you know, he's not 100% healthy, so, you know, that tournament is going to be up for grabs. I do still think Belmont's the favorite. But in the OVC tournament tonight at 8 p.m., we're going to have Murray State and Jacksonville State at 8 p.m., and then we're going to see Eastern Kentucky and Austin Peay at 10:30. I think that's going to be a sneaky, sneaky good game out of the OVC. So definitely tune in. Once you watch this podcast, you know, head over to the ESPN streaming networks. Those games will be on at 8 and then 10:30. Then two conferences in the semifinals is going to be the Big South. We're going to see Radford and Campbell, and then we're going to see Winthrop and Longwood. Both of those games are happening today. So, again, you know, once you finish watching this podcast, head over to the ESPN Family Networks. Those games will be streamed online, Radford and Campbell and Winthrop and Longwood. And then, of course, the Horizon League semifinals. This is going to start on Monday. Semifinal matchups between Cleveland State and Milwaukee and Northern Kentucky and Oakland out of the Horizon League is going to take place on Sunday, man. So definitely some good basketball in those three leagues as well.
Now, for sure, man, for sure, the CAA is another tournament that's going to get their conference tournament started. In the first round, we have Towson is going to face off against Elon. Obviously, you know, we know Towson is going to be without Zane Martin. I would expect that they're probably going to continue that. You know, Pat Scarry said that, you know, he wants to kind of go with younger guys. You know, so we'll see what happens, man. I think that, you know, that's definitely going to be an interesting matchup. Obviously, we know Towson's going to play hard. They're going to rebound. They're going to defend. So, you know, look out for them in that first-round matchup against Elon. UNC Wilmington is also going to face off against William & Mary in that first round. And then also in the quarterfinals, next day we're going to have Delaware and Hofstra facing off and Drexel and Charleston. Obviously, with, you know, Northeastern and James Madison awaiting the winners of those games. So, you know, we'll see what happens in the CAA, man. I think, like I said, you know, with the tournament being at JMU, it's going to be interesting, man, to see, you know, what they do. Obviously, they have that first round bye, so they do, you know, have the luxury of kind of waiting on their opponent. You know, but the CAA is going to be fun, man. It's definitely going to be a league that is going to be up for grabs. But like I said, if I had to pick a winner, I would definitely pick Northeastern if I had to pick one.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, definitely going to be a fun weekend of basketball, man. And obviously, also going to have the Missouri Valley Conference starting up this weekend. Sun Belt Tournament starting this weekend. And, of course, like Drew said, the MAC Tournament starting on Monday, man. There's going to be a bunch of other tournaments starting next week. We'll probably talk a lot about those on our next episode of the Auto Bet next week, man. But it's going to be a fun week of basketball, man. It's that time of year, championship week, and it's March, man. So it's getting time for that one and done, that win or go home type of feelings, man. And that's the best type of basketball, man. So definitely gear up and get ready for those games.
Not for sure, man. Like I said, I don't want to forget the American East, man. The American East is also going to be continuing the conference tournament. We've got the semifinals. UMBC is going to see UMass Lowell. Hartford is going to face Vermont. setting up, you know, the matchup that I think everybody wants to see. Hopefully, if you know, if yeah, I don't want, you know, I don't want to jinx anybody, you know, but I think everybody wants to see UMBC and Vermont, you know, for all the marbles for that chance to get, you know, to the NCAA tournament. I think that that's going to be appointment TV, you know, for that matchup. These have been the two best teams in the American East all year. Like we mentioned, man, obviously, you know, the memory in my mind is that shot Jerry Lyles hit, you know, back at Vermont, you know, when they were able to go to NCAA tournament and go on to defeat Virginia, man, and came very close to also defeating Kansas State and get to that Sweet 16, man. So I'd like to see a rematch of that game. I don't know about you, man, but hopefully, you know, each of these teams can take care of business in the semifinals so that we can get that matchup.
For sure, man. I think Hartford might have something to say about that, man. I watched them play earlier against UMBC, and they gave UMBC, you know, everything they wanted in that series. Their team, man, Austin Williams, I was replaying against him in the MAC. He was at Marist, man, and he's, you know, he's a great player, 13, averaging about 13 and 6 per game. Tracy Carter as well. That backcourt that Hartford has, man, of Austin Williams and Tracy Carter, man, they are talented. Obviously, you know, Tracy Carter has played at a bunch of levels. He played, you know, at LaSalle for a little while. Wasn't he at Marquette before that?
I was at Marquette
and went to LaSalle, and he's now obviously at Hartford. You know, that backcourt of him and Austin Williams, man, I saw them play early in the season against UMBC, man. They are no slouch in the American East, man. Obviously, they were able to get a split against UMBC earlier in the year. And now they're obviously going to get Vermont this weekend in the conference tournament, who they have not played yet. I'm looking. I don't think they played Vermont this year, so that could be the first time that they had a game set up and it got canceled. So this is going to be the first time that they've seen each other all year, man. So don't be surprised if Hartford pulls the upset.
All right. You heard it here first, man. Vermont is on upset alert. We'll check back with you guys next week to see if that comes true, man. You know, but like Ace said, man, tons of basketball to watch this week. So make sure you guys are tuned in with the Auto Bid, man. Listen to this twice. You know, if you think, hey, man, what game should I tune into, man? Go ahead and give another play, you know, and you'll have all the answers that you need, man. March is upon us. March Madness is here. We're going to have all your mid-major updates with these conference tournaments. You know, who obviously as we get closer to the Selection Sunday, you know, we're going to be giving you guys our picks, you know, for some upset alerts, teams that can kind of sneak into that second weekend. We'll definitely be letting you guys know, man. But like we always say, man, please, you know, like this podcast, subscribe it, man, share it. This is the time of the year, man, where this podcast is going to be extremely valuable, obviously, for guys that are trying to get their brackets done. So, you know, tell a friend. It definitely goes a long, long way.
Sure, man. Like Drew said, man, tell a friend, spread that good gospel. Give us a like, give us a review. You know what I'm saying? Share. It all goes a long way. If you engage us on social media, you know, if you're sharing it across your social platform, we definitely do appreciate every like, every watch, every comment that you guys do engage with us on this podcast, man. But that's going to do it for another episode of the Auto Bid, man. Until next week, we're going to let my guy pull up Tay. Take us out with some music, man. Enjoy the basketball this week. And until next time, folks. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You beating on me. I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. You want a sideline. You ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You beating on me. I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'm going to take your last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy.